So my name is Justin Fry. I'm the pastor here at Restoration Fellowship. We welcome all of our guests from various places. We really hope that you guys just really feel as much as hospitality as we can offer you in our given circumstances. We're glad to have you here. I'd like to do this. I'd like to stand up. For those of us in this room, I'd like to stand up, turn around. I'd like to give a hand to those that are in the overflow. So upstairs and in the foyer, we honor you guys. We love you. Thank you so much for being in the overflow. We were wanting to do this event on Facebook Live, and because of so much smearing going on against Jeremiah Johnson Ministries, we've decided not to do Facebook Live because of how many people can hack onto that and give various comments and do various things. We are recording this. We will have this available on our website. As soon as we get this done tonight, we'll take it and we'll get it up on our website. The recording of this service tonight, we'll do that on Saturday and on Sunday. So here's a few things you need to know, is that we're right there. We've done a good job of keeping our capacity thanks to the folks willing to go to overflow. And so tomorrow night, we're going to open at 5:30, and we'll probably just have to do a head count in this here, and then we'll get overflow going again. Now, Sunday, we're going to do two services, so it's going to be a little easier. Sunday morning, we're going to do 8 a.m. and at 10:30, and we've asked Jeremiah to do the same content. Now, I don't have any promises for you because he rolls how he wants, right? But I've asked him to do the same content, so that those that come on Sunday, if they don't come to the 8, they're going to get the same thing at 10:30 as far as messaging. But we are asking that if you don't have kids that you'd come to the 8 simply because we're not going to have childcare available, and then they'll have to come in here and just capacity that sort of thing. So we're asking you, if you don't have kids, to come to the 8. If you have kids, come to the 10:30, and that'll kind of separate that fairly well for us. We have three different giving stations, and this is just trying to help with that social distancing we're trying to do. We've got one up here in the piano, two in the back. There's one on each side, and we have this. Now, tonight, we want you to give to Jeremiah. Now, I like to get this out of the way now so I don't come back up here and say, hey, let's give to Jeremiah after he's kind of midstream ministering, and then he goes into ministry time, and I'm saying, hey, we're going to take an offering. So we're not going to pass the buckets tonight, but I want right now to think about a guy who just moved, the cost of that, the kind of absolute onslaught that he is taking right now, the people that he brought with them, what they're giving up to be here to bless Pagosa Springs and to bless us. And so we have a text to give here. You can follow those instructions if you want to write a check. Again, we have a basket up here. We have a basket on either side. Now, I asked that you would do this at the end, but even now, I ask that you would pray with me. Lord Jesus, right now, we ask that you would lead us as we give. Lord, I ask that you would put it on our hearts, the way that we can financially bless and strengthen Jeremiah and his team. Lord, I ask that this trip to Pagosa Springs would be a blessing to him and his team and a strengthening financially, spiritually, in the realm of rest. Lord, we just proclaim that Pagosa Springs is an area of restoration, an area of refuge. And we ask that while they're here, they'd feel that, they'd experience your restoration and your rest in Pagosa. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. So I do want to encourage you guys to give. And again, please, we have giving envelopes up here. We ask that you'd put it in an envelope and just mark it for Jeremiah. Otherwise, we're not going to know if you meant it for Restoration Fellowship or if you meant it for Jeremiah. I think that's all I have. So, Jeremiah. There he is. He moved on me. Let's give Jeremiah a hand as he comes up. Just want to pray for this guy.
You're like the only guy that ever prays for me.
Is that really? Is
that? That's why I come back.
Well, we do appreciate, I just want to say this, we appreciate you. I mean this, man. Like, I know what your world has turned into. We've been friends for almost 4 years now. And the progression of where the Lord has taken your ministry and what's happened to you as far as the pull on your time and on your schedule.
I want to go back.
And go back to that? Yeah,
yeah, please.
And so when you, I want to tell you guys two things about this guy. I called him 4 years ago. Since then, he has called me. I said, I really feel like the Lord put it on my heart to come back to Pagosa Springs. Would you let me? I'm thinking, duh, right? And so every time he does that, and he does, I've been thinking about him too, but I don't want to bother him. And then he'll text me, hey, Pagosa's on my heart. And I just, man, that just blesses me, man. So in light of that, another thing that Jeremiah never does is he never asks for money. Never once. He never said, would you cover my airplane ticket? Would you cover my Airbnb? Would you cover my expenses? Never once. I mean, I'm just, that doesn't happen. Just so you know, if you have guest speakers, that's very, very rare. So I just honor that about this man, and I just want to, again, thank you for who you are, for what you represent, for how you have just reached out to us so much and blessed us. And let's pray. If you guys would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this weekend. Thank you for the gift that Jeremiah carries to exhort, to teach, to encourage, to correct, to function authoritatively in the body of Christ in this nation and in the earth. Lord, I ask that you would stir up the gifts that are in him. Lord, that we might grow in love tonight for your son, Jesus. That we might understand who you are better because of the way you've stirred up the gifts in him to talk about you, to represent you, to encourage us in you. We bless Jeremiah. We thank you for his family. We thank you for his ministry team. We thank you for everything that they have given up to serve this region and to serve this church family this weekend. And right now, Lord, we just open up our spirits to receive from him and his team this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can we give Justin a round of applause? I want to thank Justin and his precious wife, their family, the elder team here at Restoration Fellowship. I believe it's either the fourth or fifth year that we have been coming, and I consider this church a covenant, a friendship, and do look forward to returning as God leads. I also want to just acknowledge two members of the JJM team, which is Jeremiah Johnson Ministries, that flew here today. We started about 6 a.m. and we got here about 5:30 p.m. And so it's just been a haul. We have recently transitioned to Charlotte, North Carolina, which I'll just mention briefly. But Jad and Claudia are here. Can you two stand real quick? And can we give these guys a round of applause? Claudia's in the front, Jad's in the back. You'll see them doing different things. We do have a product table back in the lobby, several books and different just messages that we have back there. If any of that could be a blessing to you, you can check out the resource table before and after the gatherings. Well, tonight I want to just invite you a little bit into just the journey that we have been on in the midst of COVID-19. How many of you have been on a journey? Everybody's been on a journey. If you have a social media account, everybody has an opinion. Who has an opinion? And people feel so strongly about them. And I was just praying, you know, the weeks leading up to this gathering, just asking God to strengthen and encourage the church, that we wouldn't fight any battles where there's no spoils. really hope that you won't fight any battles in your marriage where there's no spoils. Really hope that you won't fight any battles online where there's no spoils. Lots of things that you can fight and argue and debate about, and there's no spoils. And so all of us have a lane that we're called to run in. Can you say lane? And so there's so much to be passionate about in the body of Christ right now. There's so much to be passionate about in the earth. And so part of this weekend, I feel stirred by the Lord to share part of the lane that the Lord has called me to run in the body of Christ. And if you're feeling the lane, amen. And if you're in another lane, amen. And if you're driving in the opposite direction, amen. At least we're driving. Okay, we're all on the same team here. And I want to begin with prayer, of course, and just invite you into the journey. I've just been asking the Lord whatever He wants to erupt and pull out of me for tonight's gathering. He'd do that, and we'll just launch out and see where we go. I've been meeting with pastors, and they're like, you know, what's the Lord saying during COVID-19? And I'm like, I've had 58 dreams. I've preached 38 messages. We could be here all night for weeks about what the Lord is saying, but I know that He has something special, significant for those of us that are here tonight. So let's pray. Father of lights, Father of glory, You in whom there is no shadow of turning, we make an appeal to heaven tonight. Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, we pronounce You ruler of all the earth. Lord, we bow our knee before the God of heaven and earth. God, we say that there is none like You. Lord, as a prophetic people in the earth, Lord, we cry out, to whom can we compare to You, O God? To whom can we count Your equal? God, we ask that You would invite us into Your counsel tonight. As Jeremiah cried out in his day, where are they? Who are they who will stand in the counsel of the Lord? It doesn't say the counsel of social media, Fox News, CNN. Who will stand in the counsel of the Lord to hear, to listen, to heed what You're saying, God? I ask that You would call a generation back to the ancient past. Lord, we renounce a new normal in the church. Lord, we ask that You would take us back to the ancient past. Root us and ground us in Your word, O God. Lord, release radical encounters with the Son of Man. Lord, we ask, release the harvest in this generation. Release historic revival. Lord, we welcome cleansing. We welcome shaking. We welcome Your judgments. We say that they are righteous and that they are true. God, we ask, would You do it? And everybody said, amen. We were up in February in an event called Battle for Canada. And we were coming back on an airplane back into the United States, flying through Seattle. And while we were walking in this Seattle airport at the end of February, I just heard God whisper something in my ear. And you know, sometimes God whispers things in our ears that we can't really place at the time. And I just want to encourage you, at times in your life when the whisper of God comes to you and you can't really fit it or place it, don't disregard it or throw it away. Just keep it in your spirit, write it down. But the Lord said to me in the Seattle airport at the end of February, crisis is going to create lots of C's here. Some of you might have heard me say this. Crisis is going to create the correct climate for the end time church to emerge in the earth. Crisis is going to create the correct climate for the end time church to emerge in the earth. And coming back in February through Seattle at this time, I hadn't heard of anything concerning COVID-19, just pretty much business as usual. And the Lord begins to speak to me about crisis. It was around that same time when many of us know that the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. How many of you know that? I know one too long ago. How many of you are familiar with the prophecy that Bob Jones gave concerning the Kansas City Chiefs? I remember that night when they won the Super Bowl, my phone was ringing. I was getting so many texts, I had to shut it off, because I kept trying to go to bed and ring, 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 ring. And a lot of what I was hearing from the around the country was revivals here, awakenings here. I remember a mega church pastor, I won't tell you who he is, he literally said to me, "Now that the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl, I will no longer receive any negative prophecy." This is the sign. This is what we've been longing for. Now that the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl in February, it's just all glory, right? Because that's the pervading end time theology, eschatology in the charismatic movement. It's only going to get better. Everybody's going to be saved, right? Where everybody's going to get into heaven. God's good. I'm just mentioning this just to let you know that what's happening in the earth right now, many in the charismatic movement have no word of the Lord. They have no theology. What's happening in the earth can't even be put in their pipe to smoke. They're just sort of holding on, waiting till this thing passes so that they can get back to telling people it's only going to get better. And so that kind of attitude, that kind of, if you want to call it, a hopeful outlook, is a lot of what I was hearing in February as the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. We go to Canada. God pours out His Spirit. I'm walking through the Seattle airport and the Lord begins to whisper to me about crisis, about how it's going to create a climate, just like trees and plants can only grow in a certain climate. God began to share with me that there was going to be a climate created in the earth that would actually be ripe. It would be conducive for His end time army to arise in the earth. And so fast forward to March, I was headed to Australia for a conference, and by that time, continents and nations began to shut down. And it was literally canceled, the conference, a day before I was going to fly out. And I said to my wife, I had prepared a series of messages that the Lord had given me out of the book of Daniel called Geared for Emergency. God began to show me, I'm going to mention it several times, the Lord began to say to me, in the time of silence, and by silence I speak of the time of quarantine, in the time of silence, I'm seeking a remnant that will engage in spiritual violence. In the time of silence, I'm looking for a remnant who will engage in spiritual violence. And as I said, there's a lot of battles that you can fight. And so a battle that I'm not willing to fight is whether you want to meet in your house, in your garage, at the corporate gathering. I'm not willing to fight about where we're going to meet and how many. But where I'm willing to fight is this: God is calling an end time church to engage in spiritual violence. Now, some of us like violence and we need deliverance. But spiritual violence obedience that I speak of is called wholehearted obedience. It's a radical selling out to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's putting all your marbles out of your pockets, shutting the exit doors. It's a radical kind of Christianity that I believe is emerging in the earth. And so because the conference got canceled in mid-March, I just told my wife, I told our staff in Lakeland at the time, we're just going to have a week of meetings. And this was at the beginning when things started shutting down. And so I remember feeling, I guess you could call it persecution, like many of you are feeling now for showing up to church. How dare you? Like you felt persecution for wanting to gather in the house of God. I don't know if you felt this. It's like the strangest thing ever. Like it feels like you murdered someone because you came to church. So we had meetings back in March and everybody went ballistic. How dare you have public meetings bringing forth messages about gearing a generation for emergency, that there's a climate called crisis that is causing something to erupt in the earth. And I actually believe that there are people that have tried church all their life that have been bored, and they're actually going to wake up during this time. I actually began to trumpet that in the midst of COVID-19, we're going to see a harvest. There's going to be people that have been set free from drugs and alcohol, radical lifestyles that got saved and they're rotting on the back of a pew. They served the devil harder than they ever served God. They lived wild for the enemy, and they've become a domesticated kitty cat in the house of God. I don't know, maybe that's a few folks in here. Well, brother, the service better end in an hour. That's interesting. You didn't go out clubbing till midnight. Didn't care about time then. Didn't care about where you were and what you did then. But all of a sudden, because I got saved, there's a bunch of rules and restrictions that I've placed that are really hiding underneath idolatry. So I began to trumpet these messages about geared for emergency. I began to call forth this end time army. And one by one, we began to see radical salvation and deliverance simultaneously with religious oppression. It's interesting, those who attack the next move of God are those who led the last one. The people that I know that are the most upset about Christians gathering in America are Christians. Absolutely furious that you would dare gather together. So we decided to continue on March, and then came April. We began to host 4 weeks of revival, straight weeks, down in Lakeland, Florida. We saw thousands from all over the United States drive and fly in. Good friends Daniel Kalenda, Tracy Cook, many prophets, evangelists saw real miracles, real baptisms in the Holy Spirit. But it does something to you when you're seeing a heightened increase of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit before your eyes, but then you go back to the news or you talk to other Christian friends, and it's like the exact opposite experience. And I'm sharing all this with you so that you know where I'm coming from. And where I'm coming from is this: I am not out to shame anyone. I've been telling people, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. If you want to meet in your house, meet in your house. If you want to meet in the mega church, movie theater church, whatever kind of church, just go right ahead. But there's a spiritual battle that is raging in America, and I promise you that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. I promise you that our wrestle is against principalities and powers that are seeking to wreak havoc and division. God has called me since the beginning of COVID-19 to take a particular stance in the body of Christ where I feel like I'm running one direction and a lot of people are running the other way. And you're not going to hear from me, shame on them because they're not running this way. Why? Because I know my assignment. Do you know your assignment during COVID-19? What is our assignment? What is our assignment during this season? The book of Chronicles, we know, chapter 12. There were the sons and daughters of Issachar. I've been preaching a lot about a fresh Issachar anointing that's going to come upon the end time church. They understood the times and the seasons, and then what does it say? They knew what to do. There was action. There was strategy. There was blueprints. I believe in the midst of COVID-19, God is causing a climate in the earth that's very good for an end time army to emerge. So we began to travel. We've been to California. We've been to Arizona. We've been to Texas. We've been to West Virginia. We're here in Colorado. We're going to Alaska and Tennessee. I have absolutely no plans to shut down traveling. But you know what else has happened? We've stirred up all the Antifa and all the BLM and all the LGBTQ. They're all after us. One of the reasons they're not live streaming today is because of how many death threats I'm getting right now. We did meetings in West Virginia last weekend on Sunday, and on Monday, the governor of West Virginia held a picture up of Jeremiah Johnson, called me out by name on the television as a troubler of West Virginia. It's so interesting to me, of all the hate and all the death threat, who it's stirring up. If you take time to look at a lot of these folks' pictures, they're all at the recent protests. It was okay for a nation to riot and to protest without masks and without social distancing. But the moment the ecclesia assembles and begins to lift up their voices, and you know what I discovered makes them mad? Is asking people to lift up their voice. Stop asking people to lift up their voice and shout Jesus in your meetings. So I guess I'm on the run. I know they've been calling this church. I know they've been calling the city officials here, warning them of my coming. What price are you willing to pay to fulfill your assignment? Is Jesus worthy of his full inheritance in the earth? Do we really believe that right here, right now, in the midst of a pandemic, that the earth has never been more ripe for a profound outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I've come to strengthen you tonight. I've come to encourage you. I've come to bring a redemptive vision of what I believe God is doing in the earth. I felt it was important just to invite you into where we've been at the last few months. Again, not in a boastful fashion, because honestly, I'd rather just throw in the towel, do some online stuff. People, why don't you do online? I'm like, brother, I'd love to. I would love to sit in my house and squeeze my babies and kiss my wife. Oh my gosh. But nonetheless, each one of us have to be faithful to the assignments. Why don't we just pause right now? We're going to jump into Daniel chapter 7. Why don't we just pause right now? If you could, would you just close your eyes? Just want to be led by the Holy Spirit, but I feel I'm sharing my assignment to spur you on into your own. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would open up the spirit realm tonight. God, I ask that you would come and lay hands on us. That there would be an ekbalo, a thrusting forth of laborers into whatever harvest field that you're calling us into. God, we ask that you would release courage, that you would release boldness. God, thank you for blessing us with persecution. Thank you for when people speak all kinds of evil against us for the sake of righteousness. We consider it a privilege, an honor for the cause of Christ. God, we just ask if any cleaning out, if there's any consciences that have been defiled in this room, any battles that we're fighting that we should not be fighting. I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, I brought many of you here tonight to get you in your own lane. God, I just ask that you would open up the highways in the Spirit. Open up the byways, Lord. Remove the stumbling blocks. Level the mountains. Lord, confront our pride. Lord, raise up valleys. Lord, those that are discouraged, that feel disqualified. Lord, I ask for the ministry of preparation. Break up the fallow ground in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 has been for me during this COVID-19 period not only a chapter that I have preached out of many times, but it's been life to my spirit man as we're enduring such an onslaught of demonic opposition right now to what God has called us to do. And we find here in Daniel chapter 7, I know that this is a book I've been telling people, and again, sometimes you don't want to tell people things like this because they think it's gospel. And what I mean by that is sometimes when prophets speak, people don't know how to find God for themselves, and that's not how it's supposed to be. But the Lord has been telling me personally to only read the books of Daniel and Revelation. The only books that I've been reading during COVID-19, I know it blows up the 365-day Bible a year and ruins that whole thing, but sometimes you got to put it in park and ask God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. But I've just been parked in the book of Daniel. I've been parked in the book of Revelation. The Lord has really been speaking to me out of Daniel as present-day truth. He wants to call a generation, as we've been talking about tonight, even in the midst of Babylonian culture, Daniel was not defiled. I've been looking at the book of Revelation through a different lens. I believe in the book of Acts, it seems to be a roadmap for the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the first century church. But part of my mistake, being raised in the Assemblies of God, I got my education with the Assemblies of God. I love William Seymour, Charles Parham, a big fan of Azusa. Part of my mistake has been when I want revival and awakening, I go back and read the book of Acts. I don't know if you've ever done this before. We got to have another Pentecost. We got to have another book of Acts. And the Lord has been speaking to me, and this is not part of the message. It's just throwing this out there if it interests you. The Lord's been showing me that the book of Acts reveals the power of the Holy Spirit through the first century church. But it is the book of Revelation that reveals the power of the end time church. So just as much as we're reading the book of Acts, I want to put forth, I actually believe that the book of Revelation is a blueprint for crisis and revival in these last days. But in Daniel chapter 7, he's just come out of the lion's den experience in chapter 6. We're seeing a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, bow to the name of Yahweh, all because a young man refused to bow. I believe that God right now is going to raise up in last days in end time church. It will be their refusal to bow their knees, even in the most difficult circumstances, that will win a pagan world to Jesus Christ. You never know who God's going to touch, even in high places. But in chapter 7, Daniel sees a vision of four beasts. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and a vision in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. And then for the sake of time, he gives descriptions of these different kinds of beasts. And in verse 7, he says, after this, I kept looking in the night, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrifying, extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed. It trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the other beasts. And then he says in verse 8, while contemplating these things, he sees a vision of a horn. It's interesting to me that Daniel begins to get caught up and what I just call a demonic swirl. I believe that in the United States right now, there is a demonic swirl that's taking place in our nation. I said it tonight, and I'm going to say it again. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities and powers. We also must recognize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. I don't know when COVID-19 is going to end, but I can promise you this, there's going to be deliverance ministers needed until Jesus Christ returns. There is so much fear. There is so much things from a soulish realm. I've been talking to people about even people's physical bodies. They're under ailments. They're under disease during COVID-19. And when they're doing deliverance or inner healing, whatever you want to call it, however you want to dress it up. But we are witnessing unusual, unprecedented demonic activity. And remember, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Francis Frangipane rightly taught the body of Christ about the fault-finding spirit. And as an accuser, he doesn't like to work alone. In fact, I hate to say this, but his best clients are Christians. He is running a 24/7 accusation room. Revelation 12, he stands before the throne of God night and day, day and night, accusing. Thank God in Hebrews 7:25, we know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's forever making intercession for us. So Jesus has a 24/7 prayer room. Satan has a 24/7 accusation room. The question tonight is, which room are you living in? When you're firing off on social media, when you're making war with your friends and family, when you're fighting battles regarding COVID-19, I just wonder how much of it's coming from the wrong room. It's quiet in here. We get in these meetings and people, they just want to go off the punch list and they want to argue about vaccinations, they want to argue about masks, they want to argue about the mark of the beast. I mean, trust me, if you've got something new, I don't want to hear it. Watch this video. There's this demonic swirl, Daniel. In his day and age, he's seeing this vision, and folks, just some good, solid, biblical theology to help us think rightly about God. It's not Satan 50 and God 50. This is not a wrestling match between God and the devil. Jesus Christ has defeated death, hell, and the grave. Is that okay to just remind you of that? He has put Satan underneath our feet. The access that he has to our lives is through what many just call open doors. Whether it's through something that's come out of your mouth, whether it's an action or a behavior that's opened up the door to the devil, I want to encourage you in this hour as believers in Jesus Christ to shut down, to shut every door to the devil. Whether it's offense, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's bitterness, whether it's anger, all of those things are the bait that Satan comes in and wreaks havoc in our lives. We can't have power over something that we ourselves are in bed with. There's such a greater level of power that God longs to release to the end time church. But because of sin, especially secret sin, Satan tries to neutralize your voice through shame and guilt and condemnation. I want to encourage you tonight. The blood of Jesus is stronger. It's more powerful than all guilt and shame and condemnation. What we're recognizing with so many in the church right now is this is more than a pandemic. This is a porndemic. There is an all-out assault that the devil has released in the church. And I believe that God seeks an end-time army, a remnant, in the midst of the demonic swirl They are going to refuse to empower the devil. If you believe the lies, you empower the liar. What lies am I believing about God? What lies am I believing about myself, about my spouse, that's causing the devil to get a foothold? Is this okay? Is my mic going wacko? Praise the Lord. I'll yell, whatever. Daniel's in the midst of the demonic swirl. We're in the midst of a demonic swirl. Let's look next, verse 9. So powerful. I kept looking. I kept looking. Folks, look at me. Look at me. Keep looking. It's not over yet. Dude, we're meeting these Christians. They've already turned in 2020. They already conceded the last half of the year to the devil. Prophecies, conspiracy theories, whatever. I mean, we've just gone ahead and waved the white flag and said, well, I guess I'll come back in 2021. I want to encourage you to wake up. I want to encourage you. I've been working with prophetic folks the last 12 years on what I would consider a full-time basis. I have to remind prophetic folks a lot. That's great. You saw the devil. Keep looking for Christ. That's awesome. You saw the plans of the devil. Where are the solutions of God? Oh, you need to say amen louder. He kept looking. Again, the spirit of revelation that God wants to release in the church. If the eyes are bad, the whole body is bad. If our eyes are fixed on the media, if our eyes are fixed on the next thing that's coming, we are going to empower that demonic ideology and agenda. God still looks for a people that will not only expose the plans of the devil, but they carry a deep, revelatory, intimate knowledge of who Jesus Christ really is. He said, I kept looking, verse 9, I'm getting excited, until thrones were set up. I just want to speak that over the American church. Keep looking. Oh, keep looking. I know you got to put something over your mouth, but your eyes can see. Oh. Until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, the keeper of the time. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, the books were opened. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. There's this vision of the Ancient of Days, the Father. There's this vision of the Son of Man that God wants to set before a generation. Remember, where vision of Jesus is present, deep and continual worship will never cease. You know what the greatest need in the church right now is? A vision of God. When we fear Him, there's nothing else to fear. My concern for the charismatic church is what I believe Paul exposed in Athens in the book of Acts. He says that then there were the Athenians who always hungered for something new, something sensational. We're living in a generation where we are looking for the next greatest solution, the next greatest man or woman of God, the next greatest trick or magician to show up and woo us of all our pain, which is oftentimes temporary. In the midst of this deception, God is going to raise up messengers, faithful prophetic messengers that are going to declare Jesus Christ in all of his glory. They are going to preach his death, his burial, his ascension, his second coming. They are going to preach Christ to a generation. Is he good enough or not? Is he the head of the church? Is he the foundation? Is he the chief cornerstone? Is he alone worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise? Are our eyes fixed on eternity? Some of you need to wake up from temporary afflictions and the troubles of this life that come to choke the seed of God out inside of your spirit. God wants to come and strengthen and encourage the church tonight, but we need a vision of God. Say amen for yourself. Say amen for yourself. He is the way. He is the truth. When is Corona gonna be over? Begin to go on all these different television shows, Daystar, Sid Roth, Jim Baker, all of them. First question, when's Corona gonna be over? I took this to the council of the Lord. They're asking, where were the prophets? Where were the people that could have warned us about Corona? Where are they? Where were they? I asked this question to the Lord. Where were they? Where are they? What about Corona? He said, Jeremiah, this is what he said to me. Where are the messengers who are going to preach Christ? We've got a church preparing for a second wave of COVID, and we're bankrupt on the second coming of Christ. I mean, folks, you have to believe that probably during World War I and World War II, you have to believe the folks there probably believed he was coming again. Lately, I've just been wishing Americans would take a mission trip. Talk about your rights being taken away. All right, I'm here to preach, not meddle. We need a vision of Jesus. Well, brother, I thought you were a prophet. Well, listen, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's like people don't want to clap to that or give to that anymore. We want to pay them to perform for us. Give us another magician. Give us another miracle worker that's only going to put a Band-Aid on the wounds. This was the cry of Jeremiah. You are addressing the wounds of the people superficially. You are saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Folks, the American church is being exposed right now. There has never been a greater separating of the wheat and the tares than in history. Governor Newsom out in California made it more easy than ever before to see who's going to bow or not. Just say, Jesus. Do you love him? Do you honor him? Do you adore him? Is he alone worthy? King Uzziah dies. What a great reign he had for the most part. And Isaiah, he rises in a generation. What's he say? I see the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. The end time church, we're going to sing the songs of the bridegroom. End time musicians and singers and messengers. I don't know if you've heard about my encounter in 2018, just getting caught up in apostle or prophet or teacher or pastor or evangelist. You know, because that's your identity, right? You got to pick one. Because everybody's got to be somebody. I was crying out to the Lord, just seeking him. Isaiah, I see the Lord high and lifted up. God, who have you called me to be? And right there in 2018, Jesus Christ walked into my bedroom. Put me back on the bed. It's the third time that he appeared to me, once in 2010. Once in 2014, and the third time in 2018. And he came right into my bedroom and he put his finger right inside of my chest. This is what he said to me. I don't know about apostle or prophet or teacher or pastor or evangelist, but I've called you as an end time messenger. I want you to prepare my bride to meet the bridegroom. Can I entrust you with this mandate? Will you not chase after other lovers, other subject matters? Because folks, if Jesus Christ really was the foundation of the American church, you would not be seeing what you're seeing. If he really was the chief cornerstone, if he really was our all in all, the response of the church would not be the same as the response of the world. The fear, the anxiety, the paranoia is just as strong in the church as it is in the world. And the only way we get out of the demonic swirl is sell everything figuratively. Now, if your lane is to sell everything, do it. But we've got to find that pearl hidden in the field. We've got to engage in spiritual violence. We have to become a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. We've got to give a generation permission. I think it was jars of clay to be Jesus freaks. I mean, I'm talking about a love sickness that's coming back to the church. I mean, true joy that's only found in Jesus. Not hanging out, seeing how much I can have of the world and still get into heaven. I'm talking about how much of heaven can I have on earth and still go to heaven. Okay, how we doing? Oh, I just love Jesus. Man. Daniel in verses 15 through 24, he begins to interpret the vision. Some of our scholars and theologians can do a great job at that. That's not me. But in verse 25, I want to highlight this to us. It says in verse 25, and he, being the devil, will speak out against the Most High. Some great parallel passages here are Psalm 2 and Psalm 110. David asked this question, why are the nations in an uproar? Why are the rulers planning a vain thing? He describes this speaking out against the Most High. What I find fascinating in our culture today is that the devil has not even tried to hide anymore. I believe just 10, 20 years ago, the devil threw disguise and deception, oftentimes tried to allure Christians into a trap. Now, in our culture today, he is speaking out, and he's speaking out very loudly, almost boastfully, in a taunting manner. I've been saying this, and it's been upsetting a lot of Christians, but I had a dream back in May where there was a large giant like a Philistine. It was huge. Maybe it was a principality. It was just walking all over America. And from abortion clinics and from liquor stores, it was shouting, it was speaking out toward the church, "I'm essential and you're not." I'm essential and you're not. And not one person came out of the church. There was no answer to the onslaught of the enemy. And again, I want to tell you, I want to be a faithful steward of the word of God. It's not a man or woman that will defeat the devil. It's not one church or one denomination. It is the light and the hope of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, has already gained the victory. And we, through the authority of the blood of Jesus, have to demonstrate and be his ambassadors. In Daniel chapter 12, just a few chapters beyond this, he prophesies that there will be a people who know their God, and because they know their God, they will find strength and they will take action. So this is not about getting stirred up emotionally or gathering up guns and ammunition. Again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. This is about an end time army, a remnant arising in the earth, not in their own strength, not based on works outside of grace, but they have fallen in love with the Son of Man. They know who their God is. Some of you might have heard an encounter that I had about 2 years ago, when the Lord began to come to me and say, "Jeremiah, I've called you as an end time messenger." As the Lord began to speak to me concerning these realities, he said to me that there will be two dueling brides that will arise in the earth prior to the return of Jesus Christ. There will be a harlot bride and there will be a consecrated bride. There is two brides in every city in America. There is a harlot bride and there is a consecrated bride. The harlot bride is so because she has married herself to the world. She has engaged in Babylon harlotry. She looks like and acts like. These are church environments that have become subcultures for the world. But you know, the consecrated bride, what separates her is that she has married herself to the man of war. The type of bride that's going to emerge in the earth is that of a woman in a white wedding dress with commando boots on. He's speaking out against the Most High. In every city in America, the devil and his plans are raging. And what does it say? To wear down the saints of the Most High. The devil is trying to wear down the church during this season. And I want to tell you that the places of our greatest warfare are the places of our greatest inheritance. I actually get excited when the devil starts prowling around, because I've learned to see it as an indicator. The greater the assault, the greater the victory. Folks, I'm having visions. I mean, maybe I'm going crazy, but I'm thinking to myself, the devil has launched such an onslaught in America, such a diabolical, planned assassination against the church and God. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if we can just get the church off the ground, if we can just get them to gather again, if we can just get them to lift up their voice and use their voice to speak against things that matter to God. And I know I've been controversial online lately, but I'm telling you, a lot of the church is wasting their breath. And when God calls us to run for the real and the right things, you're going to be out of gas. I believe, again, the Lord has brought many of you here this weekend in an attempt to accost you. He's trying to arrest you. He wants you to pause like at the burning bush. Come aside. It was only as Moses turned aside. I don't know if some of you are staying here outside of the meetings. Could be more powerful than the actual meetings, where the meetings are intended to stir you up, to get you to ask questions that you haven't been asking, to get you to take inventory and say, Lord, I believe we're living in days where we can no longer afford to waste time. We cannot afford to waste our voice. Lord, I want to be that man or woman that where you're calling me to put the hand to the plow, I don't want to look back. What's interesting here is that this speaking out against the Most High, this wearing down of the saints, I want to go back to this vision dream I had back in May about a giant, a Philistine. This was Goliath, same strategy toward Israel when David arose. Remember? He would come out to the battle line and he would taunt the armies of Israel. He would speak out against the Most High, and they would shake in their boots. He would wear them down. But one day, a young boy came in earshot of this Philistine, and his age didn't matter. His experience did not matter. What mattered is he knew who his God was. I'm telling you, God is preparing a remnant in America. You do not know their name. Part of what God is exposing in the American church is our love of celebrities. It is our desires to bring in famous men and women of God and plug our feeding tube into their well. And I'm prophesying to you that God is going to raise up leaders in the earth like the wise virgins that are going to tell you, go get your own oil. Living off of someone else's fire, living off of someone else's oil. It will do for a time, but it's time to grow up into all things. One of my greatest cries, I'm talking tears, during the pandemic has been with fathers who got exposed during this season. You know how they got exposed? When they can't go to church, they don't know how to disciple their own kids. Because that was pastor's job. I guess we'll just tune into the live stream. No, Dad, how about a Bible study where you share the Word of God with your family from your own secret time? Oh, I thought that was my wife's job. I think there's been so many missed opportunities during this season. Just can't wait to get back. I stood in West Virginia. I stood in West Virginia last weekend on a Saturday night. They came from everywhere. They drove from all over the East Coast. And I said, I opened up the meeting and I said, you know, the type of divine reset that God wants to release in the church, meetings like this are actually antithetical to the plan of God. It's actually the perpetuation of having to have famous men and women of God give us the word of the Lord that is keeping the church infantile. Come on, let me just encourage you for 2 minutes. You have a voice. You have a call. You have a destiny. Come on, we honor men and women of God, but we never worship them. I believe God is trying to grant the end time church immunity from church hurt. Men, church hurt. You, me, the cat, the dog, the cow. I've never met more church hurt people in my entire life. Maybe the hurt and the pain from the church hurt is just revealing how much we trusted in man and not God. What if the end time church has immunity? Because we caught a vision of Jesus. High and lifted up, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man. In the midst of the demonic swirl of Satan speaking out against God, wearing down the saints, God found a people like David. God has been preparing a people in the earth that don't have a platform, they don't have a recognized name, but they have the word of the Lord. They've been being prepared in the wilderness. Some of you are in this room. Success in God is not measured by crowds. It's not measured by stuff going viral. Success in God is measured by our obedience to Him. If He says it, just do it. If you're supposed to buy someone groceries at the grocery store and no one ever sees it, praise God. All right, how we doing? The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's raging in this nation. He's seeking to wear down the saints. And look at this. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law. Now, this is a little bit more of a prophetic take than a theological take. But isn't it interesting in the era, in the body, as we're seeing him rage in the nation and wear down the saints, that we're seeing laws change. We're seeing even in the government, the demons are raging, seeking to oppress God and the church. It says he's making alterations to the times. The devil wants to wear you down so deeply that you get in the wrong season. Now, this might mess with some of your theology, but I've been in many seasons where I was in the wrong season. There was discouragement. There was the onslaught of the enemy that caused me to hesitate, that caused me to step backwards rather than forward. And when God called my name, I was not ready. What have we been doing the last 90 days? Oh, brother, we don't have to meet in a building. We are the church. I hope it's not you, but the people that keep telling me that are like the most lethargic people I've ever met. Like, that's interesting. If you've been having Bible studies and prayer meetings, I can't smell the fire. Brother, we are the church. We're meeting at home. Well, where's the revival in your neighborhood? Where's the testimony of your neighbors being... See, now I'm making people mad. Maybe God wants to release a spirit of acceleration here tonight. Maybe you're not where you need to be. Maybe in the last 90 days you've taken some step backs. The devil's been beating you up, lying to you, grabbing hold of your body and afflicting you. And the Spirit of God, the might of God, the strength of God wants to be your portion. Verse 27, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdom under the whole heaven will be given to... Wait a minute. I thought God was just going to do it. God, save America. God, do something. Jesus, these people, they don't have any food. What does he say to them? You do something. We're waiting on God. We're throwing up a prayer. God, come and defeat the devil. Yeah, I did it 2,000 years ago. What's it going to take then, brother? What it's going to take is a people more radically committed to Jesus Christ than their church and their pet doctrines. I mean, it's going to take a glorious bride so madly in love with him that all the other inferior pleasures and desires of this life just simply fade away. Do we believe that God can still move in the midst of crisis? Do we believe that we don't have to throw in the towel the rest of 2020? It's too quiet in here for me. I love that back there, but God. Hallelujah. I want to close with just some thoughts that I've been studying in history. And then we'll have some time of prayer and ministry. I started out tonight by saying that this year was marked for many people with the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl and this promise of revival. And then where does COVID-19 fit in? Brother, you're talking about a vision of Jesus, but it's in the midst of this demonic swirl. I mentioned to you that a lot of people on television, they pose questions like, is it light or is it darkness? Is it revival or is it crisis? Can you pick one? And I believe that it's that desire to pick one that has crippled the church and made us unprepared for the days that we're living in, where we have this mentality where we're just willing to submit and bow down to the gods and the culture rather than fight. And I was recently reading General Booth from the Salvation Army before great revival broke out in their midst. Here was his own words. Here's what was going on in the culture. He reported from London in 1890, 2,000 dead, 2,000 suicides, 30,000 prostitutes, 160,000 arrests for drunkenness, and nearly 1 million people poor on the streets. Welcome to the modern age. But God, what would our narrative be in America now? Because I'm telling you, God wants to win back the narrative in the earth. God is looking for a righteous remnant, a consecrated bride who know who their God is, who are going to open up their mouth. I began to realize that Pentecost in Jerusalem was followed by persecution under Emperor Nero in 64 AD. The first great awakening in the 1730s and 40s is followed by the Revolutionary War from 1775 to 1783. The second great awakening from 1795 to 1835 is followed by the Civil War in 1861. Azusa Street from 1906 to 1914 is followed by World War I from 1914 to 1918. Are you tracking? The Voice of Healing movement of the 1940s and 50s is during and followed by World War II from 1939 to 1945. The Jesus People movement of the 1970s is during and after the Vietnam War, 1955 to 1975. In other words, if history is an indicator of anything, great and marvelous moves and outpourings of the Holy Spirit are either preceded or following global crisis. I want to declare to you in 2020, in the midst of COVID-19, we are ripe for a third great awakening in America. Next question. What are you going to do about it? Because you know why all of them ended? Because the faith and the hope and the trust was put in one man or one woman. What will it take for historic revival to come to Colorado? A mobilizing of the saints, an equipping and a training where you stop warming the pew and you get up and do what God has called you to do. Lawlessness equals fatherlessness. Do you know why there's so much lawlessness in America? Because there is so much fatherlessness. The revival that's coming to this nation is not coming in extended meetings and famous preachers. The revival coming to America is going to come to family rooms and dining room tables. I know it's sad news to a lot of older folks. I'm just going to point out the elephant in the room. We have idolized in the charismatic movement major moves of God built on personalities. What has it gotten us? For the most part, more pain. The immunity that God is releasing in the earth is going to unleash one of the greatest movements of God we have ever seen. But it literally starts with us. It starts with us understanding that the increase of darkness in a nation is actually a prophetic sign to the church that now is the time to arise and shine. We missed the weather report. Back in March when this thing hit, we should have arisen and lifted up our voices and declared that this is our finest hour. For the most part, we missed it. That's okay. Here we are in July. We're playing catch up. But I believe God is looking for a people that are not about to lay down for six more months. It's time to take back territory. It's time to win back what's rightfully ours in Christ Jesus. It's time to go to war for your marriage. It's time to get on the wall for your sons and daughters, for your grandchildren. Is there anyone here that's tired of the taunting of the Philistine in the land? Is there anyone that's hearing the devil speak out that's ready to tell him to shut up? Do a lot of us good. Brother, can you get practical? Yep. Get off social media. You could do a lot more effective warfare by getting out of the demonic swirl online, recalculating, recalibrating, setting your, what do you hunters call that? No, not sight. What is that? Scope. Sorry. City boy here. Always the fish out of water here in Pagosa. Airbnb, what's that? Kidding. We got to get the devil in the crosshairs. We got to make sure that with all our strength and with all our might, we're making war on the right enemy. We've got to make sure that all the doors are shut. We've got to make sure that we're all in. We've got to make sure that if there's any hunger or desire to live with one foot in the world and one foot in God, we've got to get right tonight. The prophets have prophesied for years to a people without mixture, God will pour out His Spirit without measure. Folks, there's such a glorious holiness and consecration coming that's born out of love sickness. It's not duty. It's not obligation. It's not I have to. It's I get to. There's a joy that's coming back to the church, a holy laughter, times in His presence. It's coming. It's here. It's now. You just lift up your hands with me now. I want to encourage you now not to be led in prayer by a guest, but to lift up your own voice and begin to share and express your heart to God in your own way right now. Whatever has been stirred up over the last 45 minutes or so, let's just have some God time right now. I know sometimes it's hard without music, but most of you don't have music at your house anyways. If you feel led to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we're asking for a spirit of prayer to be released upon the church. Lord, I just ask that you would clear out the cobwebs in this room. God, clear out the cobwebs of this pandemic. Lord, if we're vegging on Netflix and sagas at night, God, we ask right now in Jesus' name for a spirit of sobriety. The Lord says many of you are checked out, so I've brought you here for a checkup. Many of you are checked out, so I've brought you here for a checkup. Lord, we just ask for a divine examination tonight. Lord, we surrender our hearts and our lives to you. Lord, let your light shine. God, let your light shine down on the American church. Lord, let your light shine down upon the earth right now. Lord, we ask, Lord, send your glory, God. It doesn't say fear will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It says glory. God, we're asking for glory to cover the earth once again. Lord, raise up a people. Raise up a remnant, God. Come on, come on, come on. Just 30 more seconds. Come on, pray in your most holy faith. Fresh baptisms of the Holy Spirit and fire. Come on, empowerment to witness, God, in the midst of a generation filled with fear. God, release demonstrations of power, God. Come on, come on, we're doing good. God, get us in our lane tonight, God. Get us in our lane tonight, God. We come against distractions. We come against casual harlotry. The little foxes in the vineyard. Shandarababa sokorababa shandarabasiki araba. Korobo shandarabasiki araba shondarabasiki araba. Come on, we gotta pray until we can pray. Awaken the church, O God. Awaken the church, O God. Come on, Donald Trump is not our Savior. Politicians will not solve spiritual matters. Come on, November 3rd is not going to solve the problems in this nation. We've got to wake up. Come on, I feel fresh oil tonight. Trim up that lamp and get it full. Oh, God's raising up an end time army and he wants you in it. God's raising up an end time army and he wants you in it. There's a call to the front lines tonight. Oh, 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 Spirit of revival, come. Revival, come in marriages. Revival, come in families. God, raise up godly fathers in this nation. Break the curse off the land, God. Shandarababa sikia raba shondarabo socorro bo shandarababa. Come on, we're not in a hurry tonight. Just break the power of shame in this room. Shame that your kids are not serving God. Shame that you wish you could have been a better father. I break the power of shame off your life tonight. It's time to get your voice again. Feel a spirit of regret in here. Bring your regrets to the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't live in the past any longer. Live in the present and be filled with hope for the future. Shandarabababa sikio robobobo shandarabababa. Shondarababa sikio robo shandarabakia rababa. Just two more minutes. I promise we're not wasting time. We're sowing into eternity. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I just feel like God is calling the church in this hour to strike the ground. Men If you're getting that burden, will you just begin with me? Let's just cover the rest of 2020 in prayer over America. I feel like there's a fight over the calendar. I feel like there's a war on time. Like we have given the devil authority that's not his. And the Lord is wanting the church to strike the ground. He's giving us favor right now. Something like a spirit of asking. If you feel led, would you just begin to pray with me over that 2020 calendar? Come on, we're breaking the spirit of delay. We're breaking the spirit of delay over America. Things that are being held up in the spirit have to be poured out. There's a war on time. Oh, rabba baba ba shiki, oh, rabba bo sanda rabba shakaraba. I feel the fire of God in this room. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awaken your church, God. Awaken your church, God. Awaken us from our slumber. It's not time to check out, it's time to check in. It's time to check in. It's time to fill up the vacancies. It's time to fill up the vacuum. I just feel like part of the church shutdown over the last few months, as the Lord is just showing me, it's created a vacuum for the voice of the devil to be amplified. And it's time to serve notice. There's a spirit of squatting. There's a squatter in the house. It's time to serve him a warrant. It's time to get out. Just going to take that for families and marriages. It's time to serve the devil a warrant tonight. It's time to tell him to get out right now. Shandarababasiki orobobo shandarabasiki arababa. Come on, there's more tonight. It's not what you get from a man, it's what you get from heaven. It's Him filling up your cup. It's time to run the race again. Some of you, what you're fearing is the very thing God is calling you into. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to begin to just minister to some folks. I want to encourage you just to keep spirit of prayer upon you. I believe there's an atmosphere here tonight that's just conducive for the Holy Spirit speaking and stirring and reminding us. I keep hearing that word for many of us, reminder. I'm reminding you of the things I once spoke. I'm reminding you of the covenant that you've made with me in the past. Lord, bring it all to remembrance tonight. In the red bandana, will you stand? So I encourage you just to keep your eyes off of man and just focus upon the Lord tonight as we just minister to some. The Lord is just speaking over you that there's an anointing of Daniel upon you that's marked your life, that sets you apart for such a time as this. I see you successfully passing several key tests and trials in your life. And I just see you standing underneath a waterfall, and I just see fresh oil being poured upon you. I see a prophetic on you, but I see an evangelistic on you as well. There's a firebrand anointing on you, where you're going to break the back of addiction off a generation. I just see a divine collision of light and darkness. The Lord says many of the greatest battles in the days ahead will not be fought in the church, and it will be to the dismay of many of the religious. But the Lord says that the battles will be fought on the streets of America. And if the church does not outnumber those on the streets, they will not get the victory. And I just see you, the Lord using you, but you, I feel like the Lord is saying, do not err as those who have gone before you, where they failed to make disciples. I just see over the next 2 years, there's going to be a hunger and a passion to disciple a few underneath you so that you can multiply the message and the mandate. So we just bless our brother tonight in Jesus' name. Sir, in the white. Yeah. I see the hand of the Lord. Yeah, you can sit or stand. It doesn't matter. I'll keep 6 feet. The Lord says that He's been reserving fine wine for you. I feel like the Lord is saying over your life that He saved the best for last. And in these days of your life, you're about to step into more of a divine calling that you have sensed over many years. I just see things coming with ease. I don't know what kind of hard wilderness you're coming out of, but some of the things that God spoke to you in the past, you're going to see a bearing forth of fruit in this season. And I see some group of people around you that are more doubters than faith people. And I just feel like the gift of faith is very important as a climate to protect what God's doing in you. So I just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. In the Hollister shirt, will you stand? The Lord's saying that there's a radical call on you, but finding a balance or a rhythm is your friend. Let's stretch out our hands this way just so that we can participate. Lord, we just thank you for a radical fire. You've been cut from a different cloth. You've been called from your mother's womb. The devil has attacked you and chased you down. He's tried to grab the very breath in your lungs. What the Lord says that there's a family anointing upon you to break the back of generational curses over your life. I just see the Lord calling you a man of fire, but a man of family. The Lord, I just see an iron. The Lord is going to iron some things out in your life. I would say overall, I feel like the Lord is saying you're doing very well, but there's just a few wrinkles. We all have wrinkles. He's ironing out. Just trust him in the process. Oftentimes, you're the first to the battle line. You respond, but sometimes you don't bring everybody with you. And I just feel like that God is saying in the days ahead, you'll respond to the battle line and you'll bring everyone with you too. And it will be powerful. In Jesus' name. In the blue, will you stand? Let's stretch our hands out toward this brother. Lord, we just want to thank you for bringing this brother here tonight. There was just a great attack from the devil to even try to prevent you from coming here tonight. And I just want to give God thanks and praise for getting you here tonight. And the Lord just would speak over your life. I'm more interested in changing you than using you. I just bless you with the Father's heart tonight that sees you where you're at. And the Lord says, son, I'm not going to call you to run at a pace where you'll feel left behind. And you've been facing that a lot in your life, left behind, feeling abandoned. Where was he? And the God the Father, I just see his hand. He says, son, we're going to do this together. You're going to walk with the Father. You're going to know him as Father. You're going to be a good father. I break every lie that the devil has spoken over your life that he's sown even since you were a little boy. We break fatherlessness off of your generation, and we just say who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a firebrand anointing upon you. Lord, we just bless this brother. These are the days to advance. I'm going to answer your questions too. It's okay. I just feel like the Lord is saying it's okay that you're slower in getting up. Like I see this guy running real fast and you're a little bit behind, but the Lord is just wants to assure you, don't worry about people running faster. Just run at the pace I've called you to run, and I'll be with you every step of the way. In Jesus' name. Can we just pray in the Spirit just once more? I just want to make sure that we're just finding the heart of God. This isn't a show. This isn't a performance. This isn't a good job, buddy. Lord, we're here tonight, Lord, asking that you would mantle each one of us in the lane that you've called us to run, God. Lord, I ask that you would purify our hunger in this room. In the black cutoff with the hat. Yeah, will you stand? I hear the Spirit of God saying to you that the lower that you posture yourself in the coming season, the more you're going to position yourself to be used of God. And I literally see you stooping down, and I'm going out on a limb, but I see small children. I believe that the Lord is going to restore innocence that you lost during your childhood, but I also believe that God is going to give you a crazy heart for young kids. Like, I'm seeing my kids age 10, 11, 8, 9. I mean, just something about that age range where people could look at you maybe as a big guy and say, why is he with the kiddos? But I just, sir, I see an anointing upon you, a real spirit and power of Elijah, a real fathering thing for kids that aren't even your own. And the Lord's just going to make a way for you. I see lots of them around you. I see the Lord stirring up. Is this your wife that's next to you? I see something even stirring up in you. Again, I don't want to project, I want to prophesy, but I feel like there could be a connection with adoption. I feel like there could be a connection. I see a house. I mean, I see a whole new thing that God is opening up in the midst of COVID-19. You're headed one way. The Lord says, if you stop at this door, there's provision, there's blessing, there's some anointing that's coming. And so, Lord, I just pray for the right timing. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would answer the questions. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would raise up this couple for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. In the overflow room, there's a guy sitting on the end with glasses. Will you just, right here, will you just come in and just stand by the table? Let's just stretch out our hands. Father, we just thank you for this man that's just stepped in the door. And there's a prophetic act I feel like you just did where the Lord is saying, I'm calling you out of the shallows and out of the shadows. And there's a for such a time as anointing. I just put a demand on the prophetic anointing that's in you. I bind every spirit of confusion over your life about whether you hear from God or not. There's even been series of events that transpired over the years where you're wondering whether what that was God, what's him. I just feel like the Lord wants to affirm you, son. I've called you. You can run, but you can't hide. There's a greater demand that's coming on your life to preach the gospel, to do the works of Jesus, and to prophesy the word of the Lord to a generation. You've came and you've received from many, but now is the time to get in the game like never before, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't prophesy to one person last weekend. Not one. You never know. Nathan, will you stand? Let's just stretch out our hands toward him. Nathan, I see you like Moses carrying up these tablets to the mountain of the Lord. And I just see on these tablets that other people have tried to write on them. Almost like it's a blueprint for your life and your journey in God. You've been on this great journey just trying to get the right blueprints, trying to make sure that only God has written on this tablet. And I just see the hand of God just speaking to you that I have not only inscribed my law and my heart upon your heart, but there's a fresh fire that's going to come, that's going to cause the words to come alive. For the Lord would say, son, even as I've put my word inside of you over many years, it feels like my word is lost somewhere in there. And you've just been going because you know you have to keep moving forward. But it's like my word has got lost in there somewhere. But my word is going to become like a fire deep down on the inside of you. And I see blue because it's revelation. And the Lord is saying, because you've turned aside, you've not gone down the path that even those would have liked you to go down. They tried to write on your tablet, and you knew it couldn't be so. And it's almost like the Lord is saying that even though you threw down the tablet in a season, the Lord says, I've already gone and put it back together, and it's better than before. I speak better than plans over your life, over your ministry, over your destiny. You will soar higher. You will jump further than anyone in your family. We just break every curse off of your life that's been spoken over you. We just bind the spirit of witchcraft. It comes out through the tears. And just something has broken off of you tonight, even by coming. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. These bones are going to live. We prophesy life over your bones. Life over the word of the Lord inside of you. There's a mantle in you and on you for Colorado. I just feel like there's an anointing on you for Colorado. A circuit rider anointing. You're going to take teams of firebrands. There's going to be strategic strikes. The Lord will show you how to build not only a house of glory, but a house that can travel. A house that's mobile. Thank you, Father. A lot of muscle on him. Feels good. Thank you, Jesus. Solid meat there, no flub. I need to get my six pack back. Don't travel. Sir in the glasses right here, will you just stand? Father, I just give you thanks and praise for this brother. Shandarabo sakaraba shiki arababa. You mind if I touch you? There's just a spirit of revival that's on you. God, I just ask, Lord, for revival, revival fire, revival praying. Lord, let there be an outbreak of revival, God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are not knocking on a door and I'm not home. You are knocking on a door, and I'm fully home, and I'm ready, and I'm willing and able. The provision, the something is right around the corner. Just ask. I see people being fed. I see them being physically fed, and I see them being spiritually fed. I see tents. I see blankets. I just feel like the Lord is saying, pray over those blankets. Pray over that food. It's anointed by my spirit. There's an anointing on your late life to break fatherlessness. You're going to break the spirit of alcoholism. Is what's coming to you. There's a spirit of alcoholism that's destroying families that the Lord is going to call you to. Ma'am, will you stand? We just stretch our hands toward her. Father, we just want to bless your daughter. I see lots of butterflies. Father, we just thank you for an anointing, for the divine design that you've given her. Not in the box, but out of the box. And those that have come and tried to clip your wings, those that have tried to speak against you, that have tried to discourage you, Lord, we just ask right now in Jesus' name. I see at one time the butterfly was caught in a cage and begged to get out. And I feel like the Lord is saying, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That was your salvation encounter, but you've been afraid to fly ever since. And the Lord says, you're moving into a season where I'm going to restore your wings. I'm going to teach you how to fly again. But know that the flight will come from within rather than outside. I'm going to restore your heart, the things that have been broken inside. Father, we just thank you for your daughter. Will you stand up? Let's stretch our hands toward this guy. There's such a wild one anointing on you to not be domesticated. You have been on a journey knowing and learning what it means to be filled with the fire of God. The Lord saw it fit. I see you like a wild stallion, where you've needed to be bridled and tamed for a season. You've often fought whether it was religion or whether it was God trying to correct you. And the Lord says it's been a little bit of both. I've been trying to correct you, and you've also been chased down by the spirit of religion that's tried to suffocate you. But I feel like the Lord is saying, regardless of whether it was religion or it was my voice of correction, I will use it all for your good and my glory. I just see you as a vessel, a jar of clay that God, the Lord, I feel like the Lord is saying over you, sir, stay on the wheel. Stay on the potter's wheel. Just stay submitted to the process. Keep a humble spirit to God. And I just see him as the potter, you the clay. You're going through a transformation. I just bless your transformation. I bless your growth in God. I ask for grace. You're too hard on yourself. You're harder on yourself than even God is. Just bless you with the love of the Father. In Jesus' name. Bless you, man. Great job tonight. Thank you for giving the word of the Lord and not your opinion. That's good for a change. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet? Just through my journey in God, I know that he has given me a gift of dreams and an ability to impart that to his body for his glory. So as we leave tonight, I just want to pray over us, dreams and visions and visitation. I also want to break the arrows that fly at night, night terrors, insomnia, sleeplessness. We want to ban that from this room and just bless you tonight. So, Father, we thank you for this gathering of your body, your bride. We say, Jesus, you are Lord of all. And God, I ask, Lord, that you would activate the gifts of your Holy Spirit here tonight. God, you said in your word in the last days that you would pour out your Spirit with dreams and visions and prophecy. God, I ask that you would open up the night season over Pagosa. Lord, that you would open up the night season over those who have attended tonight. Lord, we curse nightmares in Jesus' name. I break a spirit of insomnia over this region. Lord, we just prophesy that people that are strung out on drugs right now in this region are going to have radical encounters with the Son of Man. Lord, I ask that you would fill us with hunger and desire. Lord, let your word come forth tomorrow night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.